It is assuming subtlety that George Lucas does not possess.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk with Joshua Scully Knight. We talk about what it's like to change your entire career and life and move on to new things.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-host, Tim Wick.
Hi.
And Nick Glover. We are currently at Die Laughing 2015, Die Laughing 2 Laugh Harder.
Yeah.
It's Saturday, and right now it's what, like 10?
It's 10.
10 yeah. Something in the morning. I've been awake 29 hours. I know you, Nick, and Tim, you guys got a little sleep.
I did.
Like
I got
few
4 hours.
Hours.
I've had 4 hours. Maybe 2 hours.
Yeah, wow. Scully, how about you?
I have been awake today for over 3 hours.
Okay,
wow.
but you slept a little bit too, because you were up late with us for a while, and then you slept. Are you staying here at the hotel?
No, see, I have the brilliant plan of, if I'm going to do 2 hours of this, and in between, I'm just going to go home and sleep.
Oh.
So I always roll up feeling fresh and get glared at by everyone who's actually doing all the work.
Well, no, that's a brilliant way to go, because you are a celebrity guest. That's how it should be. You're not necessarily in the trenches. You get the glamorous life of popping in to perform your amazing talents with us.
Yeah, that was a really nice limo that you guys sent, by the way. The driver was super nice. It was weird that he took me like all the way up to Maple Grove.
Mm.
And then I realized that he did not work for you at all. But fortunately, I'm pretty good at getting out of duct tape restraints.
That's
so.
Good. How's your butthole? Nice. Butthole okay?
Yeah, it's
all right.
Fine. I'm
all
also
right,
pretty good at getting out of...
For those of you who missed Die Laughing, I need to point out that buttholes has been a theme. I don't know how that happened, but...
Oh, buttholes is always my theme.
Did that start before PowerPoint Karaoke, or...?
I think it did,
okay.
But definitely a PowerPoint Karaoke. It came out in spades.
At about 2:30 this morning, I ended Matt accidentally because I was talking about... something about trees and like saying something about vaginas and trees and like my and Matt saying like, oh, it's in your like a moss filled or bark filled vagina. He's like, can you tell which side's my north side, you know, like.
Yeah.
And then I said, trick question, it's my butthole. And he was laid out. So that's it's definitely a theme. We definitely got the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are all exhausted and we are here, as you evidenced by my talk to him, with our guest Joshua Scully Knight.
Hello.
Say hello again. Hello. All right. Yeah, that's
he's you
can tell.
Well rested.
Yeah, he's well rested, and we're not. That's why I just talked to him before introducing him to you. But he is a repeat guest.
Yeah,
it's exciting, and we have decided that we're going to talk about grown-up job stuff.
Ooh,
grown-up
fun.
Job.
Grown-up
stuff.
Job stuff.
The best podcast topic ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all recently
serious business comedy podcast.
We've all recently gone through pretty major life changes as related to jobs, and Scully, why don't you start us off? What has been going on in your life the past 6 or 7 months?
Well, up until November, I've spent the last 10 years, which is pretty much my entire adult career, maybe like the second real job I've ever had, working for Kingdom of Loathing, working, like, pulling a full-time salary from them for doing maybe 2 or 3 hours of work a day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that makes sense because it's creative work and it's by the project, not by the hour, whatever.
When needed, you would work more hours. I mean, that's just how that goes. Like,
yep. But what we ended up with is, in November, I came back from the convention in Columbus that we have every year, and checked my email at midnight and had a note from Zach, the gentleman who started Kingdom of Loathing, and it's kind of like, I was the second person in at like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had this little company, 6 people working there. He sent me an email that said, hey, revenues are dropping, and I just have to lay you off. And that's effective 3 days from now.
Oh, Jesus.
We can get you, like, 6 weeks' worth of severance, but you'll have to figure out your health care and everything. Sorry, man. You know I wouldn't do this if I didn't need to. Boom.
Damn. Yeah.
So I...
Shit happens.
10 years.
Yep.
Email.
Email.
That's shitty.
Well, I'm impressed that the email was from him. I was kind of expecting it to be from his major domo, Kevin.
That's still shitty.
Did I pronounce major homo? No. No, that's speech from the 90s. We don't talk like that.
Yeah, anymore. No. Yeah.
But
now we just say fag.
What?
I'm tired.
So then 2 days later, he did a podcast, did Zach, with the rest of the staff. And I was surprised to see that the rest of the staff was on the podcast.
Huh.
Because they were all still employed, the people he had hired 3 or 4 years after I did. And
to do less vital work, I would imagine. I mean, you were writing
right.
the majority of the content.
Well, like me and Zach did it for 2 years,
yeah.
just us.
Yeah.
So I kind of figured I would be the last one out. If he was going to cut me, it was because the company was just about to fold.
Huh.
But on the podcast, he says, we don't want anybody to worry. Now that we've made some changes, the company is good to go for another, 5 or 6 years, whatever. But, Scully knew that this was coming, and he was actually
what?
Looking for other work, and he was prepared
what?
To leave.
Whoa.
I was like, that was based on me having applied for a part-time job with NPR because it was just a dream gig.
And
I was
why
like,
not
this
apply?
Is something I can do and do Kingdom and didn't get. But, I was looking for other work. I knew it was coming.
Oh, fuck that.
None of these things were true.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Fortunately, I very quickly got picked up by a marketing company called Top Rank Marketing, and they had the best interview process where, we need somebody to write blog posts. So for your interview, here's a topic, write a blog post.
Oh.
I was like, holy shit, you're actually having me do the thing
yeah.
to see if I can do the thing.
That's amazing.
Was that at the interview? Was that beforehand? Or was that...
That was the very first contact.
Oh, okay.
Come
wow.
in and write this, and then if we like it, we'll follow up. And
writing sample. That's cool.
Yeah. So they followed up pretty immediately and got me in for roughly what I was making with Kingdom.
Nice.
But it's been weird feeling liberated going from working 2 or 3 hours a day to working 8 hours with a half-hour commute on either end,
mm-hmm.
feeling so much freer. Because for the last 2 or 3 years of Kingdom, I think Zach had been, in his own special passive-aggressive way, trying to get me to go. He would not assign me any work. He wouldn't answer me when I asked for work. He would get very angry if work was not done without telling me that it needed to be done.
Mm.
Whenever he was angry at anybody else, he would come to me and let me know that I was worthless and wasn't doing any work.
Oh.
And was a drag on the company, was constantly eating up resources,
wow.
So, he would go and, go to an arcade convention and buy $10,000 worth of arcade games to go in his mansion. And then he would call me and say, I can't believe that you asked me for $500 to cover what your hospital bill when you were in the hospital for a week. You're just a drag on the company. You don't do anything.
What?
You've never cared about this company. You never
what?
Cared about me. Your wife is a bitch who has been trying to destroy this company. She brings her in. So,
wow.
So you're suggesting that perhaps the layoff wasn't so much about
money.
or it wasn't professional. It sounds rather personal.
It's very personal.
Well, a 6-person company.
It's hard not to.
There's not
to
a lot
be.
Of professional shit going on.
If you only cut
10 years, it's
if you
good.
Cut one person and it's the second person in, that's I don't think that could ever be considered professional.
Well,
honestly.
He cut me because I betrayed him in 2006 by getting married and going back to school instead of staying single, staying in the little, community and working nonstop.
Right.
And I further betrayed him by moving to Minneapolis and by having a kid.
Of course.
And, nobody else in the company had any adult shit going on.
I see.
So he's like, your loyalties are so divided, I only care about this game. That's why your marriage blew up and you're awful to your girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I confused my coworkers greatly for the first several days at this new job because they would stop by and say, how are you doing? And I went, we had a meeting. And they told me what they wanted me to do. And I did it. And they said I did a really good job and here's how I could do it better. And then they gave me so much stuff to do that I was busy all day. And they're like, well, that sounds awful. Like, no, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because
before you were a stay-at-home dad working on Kingdom because you could work from home.
Yeah.
So that's a big change to go into the office.
Yeah, so feeling guilty that I wasn't doing enough Kingdom work for my salary while at the same time not getting any to do.
Yeah.
Sitting at the computer while my kid is at school just staring at it and yeah. just feeling worthless.
Right.
So it, since this has started, my wife says that she now realizes that I've been depressed for a couple of years now.
Ah.
She's like, your personality has changed. You're the man that I married again. And it's kind of fantastic. It's really weird that having so much more of a demand on my time feels just like freedom.
Well, it's your self-worth. It's your self-esteem. I mean, being a productive and useful person makes you happier.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, when I was unemployed, when I was super crazy and couldn't work, and I was unemployed for two and a half years, and so Nick was the only one bringing any money into the house, and that, I mean, it wasn't just about money, though. I mean, I tried to be a housewife. I would clean, I would cook, I would, you know, run all the errands. I made sure that, like, he didn't want or need for anything, because all that was taken care of, but at the same time, I felt worthless, because we'd go to parties, and people would say, what do you do? And I'd say, oh, I'm a housewife. I'm unemployed, but I work at home. I do all the cleaning and cooking and chores, and it's, you know, and everyone would always be like, oh.
Didn't some woman, like, you told her that you went to St. Kate's and you had a degree, and she was like, and that's what you're doing with it?
Yep.
You went to St. Kate's and now you're a housewife.
Yep.
Wow.
Because it was at a friend's college graduation party where I was,
good.
Yeah. Yep. And so it was all, oh, wow.
And
it was,
betrayed your gender.
Yeah. Well, so Tim, you recently also went through.
I know
you talked about it briefly.
Yeah. And last year I talked about, you know, I was going to quit my job. I was planning on going full-time writing. And then my job basically made me an offer to stay that fit what I wanted to do. And mm-hmm. so I was like, all right, well, that's
good. They got
rid
of the things you didn't want to do.
They got rid of the things
they
that made the job suck.
Yep.
My hours cut back a little bit so I could do more personal work. And it all seemed to be working out really good. And then at the beginning of this year, they cut my hours basically in half. I went from 30 hours a week to 15.
Oof.
They didn't tell me why. They just cut my hours, and they're like, well, business is down. When I asked, I'm like, now, if because the big reason I stayed at the job was I could hold on to health insurance. And
yeah.
I'm totally okay with going Affordable Care Act and all that stuff.
Sure.
But at the same time, if I could keep the health insurance through work, that was a hell of a lot more convenient and a hell of a lot easier. So I was like, well, if I can take reduced hours, keep the health insurance, that's great. But then they reduced my hours to 15 hours a week, and I'm like, I can't keep health insurance at this, can
no,
I?
No,
you can't.
Yeah.
So... You know, and they have a minimum required number of hours per week for you to actually keep your health insurance. And I said, what the hell is going on? And basically I got told, well, you know, you could go back to the hours you had before if you're willing to do the one thing that you didn't want to do, which is cold calling. And to me, there are all sorts of reasons why I don't fucking want to do cold calling. One is it doesn't fucking work.
Right.
I've been working in that company a long time. And every time they have people on the phones hammering calls all week long, our business doesn't go up. It doesn't work. It just
people,
you know,
especially in this day and age, do not like.
We live in an era of do not call this.
Yeah.
The public has spoken, and they've said, "I don't like this shit."
Yeah.
Cold calling, like A, makes people angry, and B is busy work for people that they don't like have other work for them.
Sure,
to
it's
do.
Not skilled work.
Sure,
no,
it's not.
Right. It's not skilled work.
It's not skilled work. I was actually very good at it. I mean, I wasn't.
You're good at getting money out of people.
I'm good at getting money out of people. Even though that you hardly ever got money, but I mean, I wasn't an asshole. Most people didn't hang up the phone thinking hating me. I got them off the phone quick. You know, I was I was good at it, but I hated it because I was like, if I was the person getting this call, I would hate me.
Yep.
And maybe that's okay for some people, but for me, it's just like I can't make those calls while at the same time thinking I would hate me.
Yes.
Mm.
If I was the person on the other end of this call, it's just psychologically, it put me in a really dark place. And I mean, Pat could tell you, my kids could tell you, when the reason I said I have to stop doing this is because I was not a good person to be around when I came home from spending 5-6 hours doing cold calling. So I'm like, not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was willing to quit my job last year. So when they said, well, you know, you're either going to need to be willing to do a couple hours of cold calling a day or we're going to have to find somebody who will. And I said, well, then I guess you got to find somebody who will. Because, you know, the thing, we were talking about this a little bit beforehand, but it actually is something that has changed in my brain, being an atheist and thinking about life as there is, you know, we have a finite amount of time, sometime theoretically between 60 and 80 years, let's say, for most of us. And it's like, I don't want to give up 5 years of my time doing something awful.
Or more.
Yeah.
I mean, just, honestly.
I understand why people do that, but I'm just like, you know what? I am not going to waste my life doing that. And I've been doing a lot more writing, and I've been wanting that to be something that I do and make money for full time. And so I'm like, well, I just got to give it a shot. And this is kind of that moment where in this last year where they asked me to stay, this year they were like, well, you can stay if you do this thing you don't want to do. And I'm like, you know what? I got to just try this. I got to just figure it out and try and make it work.
Well, the thing is, it's a cliche, but life's too short. You know, it's a truism for me, because it is, in the sense that it's too short to blank. It's too short to waste it on a job you hate. It's too short to spend every day feeling miserable in your marriage in with your mother.
Can I say
or
something?
No, but like, to some degree, I wish I could go back in time and find me when I was in Chicago and I was miserable every day, and I spent 3 years in that because I was too afraid of what it would take to change my life, and because it was scary. It was scary to have to say, I want to move. I don't want to be with you. I want to get out of here. And so it's easy. It's easy to stay depressed. Yeah. It's easy to stay unhappy. Yeah. And it's easy to come home from work every day and say, fuck that place. I hate that place. They treat me like shit. And then go back every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I don't have any resentment against the job. You know, I was really upset with the way they dealt with me.
Yeah.
The ironic thing is they got rid of me and they hired somebody else to work the same part-time hours that I was working. So it's not like they hired somebody else full-time, you know.
But they'll cold call.
Yeah, but they'll cold call. But ultimately, they got to make whatever decision they make for themselves, and you got to make whatever decision you make for yourself. And I don't want to sound like a libertarian here, but ultimately, you know, I'm not angry at the people that made that decision, because they look at the bottom line and they decide what's important to them. And I can sit there and go, well, that's fine. You may honestly think this is important, but you're really wrong if you really look at the numbers and use your brain. But they still get to make that decision. They gave me a job, and they get to tell me, this is what we're willing to pay you to do. It's their money until they give it to me.
Just like you get to say, I'm not willing to do it, so I'm going to walk, and there's no penalty. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But there is, like, there's a virtue to the boot to the ass. Like,
yeah.
I had been miserable at Kingdom, even though, like, the job part was great, and the, like, going around the country and meeting people who play, because the best people play Kingdom, you guys know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you two do, and Tim don't. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
It tells you a lot.
But, so I would sit there miserable, but go, okay, but if I got another job, then I would have to figure out childcare, and then we would maybe have to have another car, and I can't do it. The money's too good. The gig is too good. And then I would have a 2-hour-long phone call with my boss, who is also my friend, who I've known for 20 years, screaming at me because, you know, making me feel like I want to kill myself for him. So when he did that, there was like this wave of fear, and then just, cool, now I have to.
Relief.
Now we have to figure it out. And we did. So that's fantastic.
Liberating.
Yeah. Nick, you recently went through a series of weirdness. So you were at your job that had been bad for about a year, 2 years.
Yeah.
Because you start... Yeah.
I've got this thing going right. I go to work for an IT company, and then they get bought by another company shortly after I start. And they change that job from something awesome to something awful until I quit.
In a million tiny ways.
And this has happened... like repeatedly. It's kind of comical, but it's been like 4 places now. I started at EMC in their Iceland division, and it was great. It was kind of a dream job of sorts. They treated me incredibly well.
Small company mentality.
They had a huge equipment budget for me to like get everything I needed and get all set up. And then they slowly, one by one, took away all the perks and everything that made the job great. And I think a real big part of my problem with the place was the inequity in the unfair way they treated their employees. It was unfairness was the issue. Our office, out of several geographically, was their best. We did all their best work. We provided all their best support. We fixed all their hardest problems. And as the result for that was more work and no hiring in mm-hmm. our office and tons of hiring everywhere else, mm-hmm. but they never held any of those people to the same standard, so it just would end up with more work for us.
Yeah.
I think a lot of companies don't understand how they disincentivize
doing a good job. Afford 10 people in Cork for one person here. Let's just hire 10 more people in Cork and hope that they catch up.
Yeah. They would tell you that you had mandatory meetings after and you were hourly. It's important to note because...
Not only was I hourly, but in order to progress forward, my next position up would have been salaried and a pay cut.
Right.
Yeah, because you go hourly to salaried, you almost always lose money.
People around the office would say, oh yeah, man, you got to go down to go up.
And plus there was a higher expectation of work hours.
And then you were assumed to work 60 hours a week off the bat. If I wanted to go anywhere in the company, I'd have to take like a significant pay cut.
An abuse increase.
Like a 15% pay cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
They would routinely have people do work well above their title. And they'd be like, you know what? You're just going to be a dedicated tech for 3M for a couple of years. Like, don't worry about it. Dedicated techs. And my brother-in-law, he got suckered into be a dedicated tech for a company for several years, a position he found out should have been paying him three times what he was making.
Wow.
But they never gave him the title change for the work he was doing.
Or alerted him to the money or anything. They were just like...
He had to find out on his own.
They made it sound like it was a perk. Like they were offering him a really great opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They always presented it as an opportunity. It could lead somewhere. Yeah. Where it leads to is you being their bitch.
And so you left there.
Yep. I had interviewed around at a few places. I left. I went back to a company I worked for before, Quest or CenturyLink. The interview made the job sound amazing. It was the same pay. They were like, oh yeah, it's a union. You're represented, so you get all these union perks and union benefits. But in the interview, there was no union representative. I met with a manager and two leads, which are part of the management. They're not represented.
Right.
And I feel like if you're gonna be in a union and essentially have two bosses, a union boss, and then a company boss, they should both be represented at your interview because there are many questions I had that they could not answer about.
If you've never been in a union before, there are a lot of rules. It's not like it's. A lot of them. I don't want to be pro or anti-union because there are good and bad reasons for unions. But you know, if you've never been in a union before, somebody really needs to explain to you what you're getting into.
There's a lot of education that needs to happen there. I think unions are like corporations. They can do wonderful things. They can do terrible things. It's a conglomerate of people, and people are capable of great things and terrible things. And it's just an amplification because it's representing more people like a corporation does. So and historically, unions have done amazing things, and that's undeniable.
Right.
But if
you've never been in a union before, you don't, and every union's different, and every union has different rules, and you need to understand what are the rules of the union that you're about to join.
So I started there, and they told me that I get 2 weeks vacation to start, but actually what that is you get one day in your first 6 months.
Wow.
And then after that, you get...
Nine more days. They said 2 weeks, they meant two working weeks, not 14 days. They meant 10 days, which, okay, but two weeks is a little...
It's actually one and nine, and some of those are, this kind of time, and some of these are this kind of time. There are six different kinds of vacation time to manage because of the union regulations. On top of that, all time off is requested at the beginning of the year through purely seniority.
And it's an 18... You have to block it out in an 18-month...
Yes.
Block.
Yep, an 18-month block.
So you have to know what days off you want for 18 months.
So there were coworkers or peers there that I had that had been with the company in a represented role for 35 plus years. And I was lowest on the... I was tied with another guy for lowest because they got hired at the same day as another guy. And his social security number's last two digits are higher than mine, so I was lower than him. That's what it came down to.
Wow.
So I was told that I could not take any vacation time during summer.
Which is fine, because we don't, have convergence or work at the Renaissance Festival during the summer, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's
it was absolutely.
So suddenly the job of guaranteed not working weekends and you never have to worry about asking for time off for Fest has become, oh, you're totally fucked. I mean, yes. Honest to God, like we were, so between the two of us, we were very excited for him to have this job, even though it meant going back to CenturyLink where he had left because things were so bad and he was so depressed there. Yeah. It was a different department, a different job, yep, with the union and everything. It sounded so great. And you texted me, you started at 8 that day and you texted me at 11 a.m. roughly and you said, I am freaking out. I need to talk to you on the phone. This job is fucked and I don't know what to do and I'm really panicking.
It was an absolute bait and switch.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about like being useful and how you'd come home from working a longer shift but feel good, like you accomplished something, the majority of the training where I was sit here in this chair for 8 hours and watch him do his job.
Which he doesn't know how to explain because he's not a trainer.
Right.
He's just going to do it and he'll be like, I don't really know what to say, but I do the thing.
And also my monitor is 4 feet away from your eyes, so, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
Like, and it was a bad situation and that's why I quit and went back to school. And I would say that I was certainly in a depression.
Yes.
In mild or whatever in that time. Coming out of that, it has been, I feel like, myself.
Again. It was, do you feel, Scully and I, because I, and probably Tim too, because you guys, the three of you all had very fast breaks. Like, it was a sudden thing. It wasn't like a gradual, it was a sudden thing that you went from being.
Yeah, we all have that in common.
All of you. Yeah. So I have to ask, because I know for Nick, it was like a complete 180 from, because there was a day where he just said, registration is still open. I can register for all my classes I would need. I mean, I got to decide now, but I think I could quit my job tomorrow and go back to school in a week.
In a week or two, and
he went for it. And his mood went for like a 180. Did you feel that way? I mean, I know there was for both of you the disenchantment of kind of that, but like, did you feel lighter? I mean, was there that instant?
You know, it's interesting because I had two different experiences. Last year when I made the decision to quit, I felt so much better. I felt so much better. And then over the year, as the requirements of the job changed to something that I was happier with, I liked my coworkers. I enjoyed going to work. Mm-hmm. And then having to make the decision to leave anyway, it took longer to adjust that time.
Okay.
It was harder because I had really disliked the job before, made it super easy to leave.
Yeah.
I liked what I was doing, but I also recognized that what I was doing was stagnating. I'd cut down to 30 hours a week with the idea that I could then spend those spare 10 hours being a writer, but I didn't do that.
Right.
I didn't do that. I ran errands and did all sorts of...
You dicked around, like everyone does.
I dicked around and did all sorts of piddly things. And since I've been out of work for a couple of weeks now, it's like every day I'm up at 8, I'm down in the basement, in my basement office.
Masturbating furiously.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do first. And
that's
then,
what you're a writer, yeah.
Got to clear your mind, yeah.
Yeah, Scully knows.
Exactly. Because otherwise, all you're thinking about is masturbating. So you got to get you got to get past that. To the writing, but
that explains that masturbation level on KOL. It's just I get it now.
but that's been my focus, and so I had different experiences. But yes, I mean, I'm happy with where I am, and it was a totally different mental switch.
Yeah. How about for you, Scully?
There were like my mom warned me when I told her. She said like you're gonna go through all of the stages of grief when this happened.
Kubler-Ross.
10-year relationship.
Yeah, so the first thing was like, okay, well, that's shocking, but, you know, we had this great relationship, we had a good time, I'm sure he had to do this. That's cool, we'll figure out what to do next. Then there was the anger.
Because the podcast.
At like, well, that's totally fucked, and I actually logged back into Kingdom, saw that like my dev privileges had been yanked and everything. It was like, dude, I could have kept writing stuff for you for free because I would do that because I love this game. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
But it turns out that my wife had been talking to his girlfriend on Facebook, and they had this weird relationship, and she has been constantly complaining about him coming to Jess for advice for years now. So this is like, since my husband is no longer employed with him, I would say, as your friend, you should probably look at getting out of this relationship. You're basically his housekeeper in Arizona while he lives in California.
Oh, jeez.
Holy shit.
Yeah. He threatened to break up with you if you came to live in California, because then nobody could take care of his house.
Oh my God.
So when I logged in again, he came to me and said, your wife has been telling my girlfriend that I'm emotionally abusive, and that she should break up with me. So, you know, that's why I yanked all of your dev access, because I don't know that I can trust you.
Oh, for
God. That's not the order in which things happen.
Yeah, well, no, he did. Like, he said, you posted something on Reddit that sounded angry, and then your wife was trying to get my girlfriend to break up with me, so that's why, I just locked you out of everything, because I was afraid. It was like, you were afraid I was going to, like, change all of the text in the game to butts or something? Like, are we not
Wouldn't
adults?
That make the game better? I'm sorry.
Right. People would have just assumed that it was like an event, like a daily event. It was like some butt invasion.
So then he said, like, do you think I'm emotionally abusive to my girlfriend?
Oh,
and I got to say, I won't speak to that, but our relationship was absolutely emotionally abusive, and even though I don't have a job yet and I'm terrified, I feel so fucking much better now, and slammed it down. And like,
nice.
Then came the lift. They're like, I don't care what happens next.
Yeah.
I can have longer hours. We can scramble a little bit for money. Money should come, money should go.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Our household will be better if I am not so insecure and stressed that, like, if I'm saying something and my wife interrupts me, I start crying. Because in my mind, she's just validated the fact that I have nothing useful to contribute to society. Like,
right? No,
well, that doesn't happen anymore. It's fantastic.
Yep. That's exactly the same conversation that Nick and I had, which was, you know what? It's 2 years of school, and if we're broke for 2 years, we're broke for 2 years, and then you'll get a job and you'll make money again, and it's temporary. It's not like you're leaving work to start your own, artisan
to start
donut
a writing
business,
career,
so.
And you don't have any actual income. That,
well, see, no,
it's not like that.
You're not starting a writing career.
Yeah.
You have a writing career.
I'm trying to make a writing career profitable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
Molly, you have a recent job change thing.
I do. Just real quickly, because I want to get to five questions. But So a year ago, I realized that I hated my job. It sounds really hyperbolic, but I didn't like what I was doing anymore, but I love the company.
You liked who you worked with.
Yep.
You liked where you worked.
Yep.
You liked everything about it except your tasks.
Just what I had. Well, and it was because I was stagnated as a thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go anywhere, and I could forever be doing the thing I was doing, which, you know, but at the same, but because I didn't want to move up, and I didn't have a passion for sales. I didn't have a passion for selling people stuff. And it's similar to the cold calling thing you said, where it was like, I would hate to be the person being sold to. I hate that. I've always been bad at that at any retail job. So I sat down with my manager and in my review, and I said, I can't keep doing this job. And I like you, and I love Fantasy Flight, but I can't. I'm losing my sparkle, and I'm starting to feel really sad all the time. And I used to love coming here, and now I don't, and that sucks. And I want to love coming here again. And it took a year, but I start a new job on March 30th, and I'm going to be a game producer.
That's so
awesome. And it's official, so I can officially say it. I'm going to be a game producer, and
that's
it's awesome.
So
yay for the four of us moving on.
I think the lesson that we all learned, that maybe our podcasting listeners can learn too, is that jobs are only useful as long as they give you some benefit besides money.
Besides money.
Not at the cost of happiness.
Yeah, because jobs, you can find another job. I guarantee you there is another job out there that will probably pay you as well as you're getting paid now. That isn't the issue. The issue is, if a job makes you miserable, then all the... I had this conversation with a boss once. Well, she did the... Because I couldn't answer her the way I wanted to answer her. Because she was like... Because I told her, you know, I've got this thing coming up. I need to have a day off. And she was like, you know what? You really need to understand, you know, what's a priority and what's not a priority. What I wanted to say is, let me make this very clear.
Yeah.
My job, when I'm working for another company, is always my lowest priority. You know, because, and I know that sounds awful, but think about it. My wife is a higher priority than my job is.
Yeah.
My kids are a higher priority than my job is. My house is a higher priority.
Yeah.
My freelance work as a writer, everything I do is a higher priority than this job. The only reason I'm here is because for 8 hours a day, you will pay me money to be here.
Yeah.
And
let me tell you, if I feel like I might have to go to the bathroom, my need to go take a piss versus hold it for 5 minutes is more important than this job is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
oh God, I have to tell you.
So you might as well have a job that you want to do.
Yeah, yep, agreed.
Oh yeah.
That
just reminded me of a job that I had pre-Kingdom for about a week, which was cold calling.
Yeah.
For a, one of those, like, it was called Employees Wanted Magazine. It was the, like, listings
back
of classified. It was mostly, like, truckers and stripper ads.
Yeah.
So we would sit and cold call, and they had the whole sales culture where they would have fun team building activities, and they'd yank you off the phones and do stuff, and you had your quotas. And the reason I quit was because he called me into the office and said that I had been taking too many bathroom breaks and suspected that I was drinking more water than I needed so that I would have an excuse to go to the bathroom more frequently.
Oh, my God.
As soon as you start micromanaging my dick, I am so out.
Yeah, my intake and output is not your business.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
on the phone 8 hours, I have to drink water, ass.
So, listeners...
truckers and strippers, that's like a symbiotic relationship.
It really is. It seems like that magazine would, like, implode upon itself.
Yeah. That's going to be my Halloween party theme, I think. Truckers and strippers.
Truckers and strippers.
So,
you're going to look awesome in that mesh trucker.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. Lady truckers, male strippers.
And you will look awesome in the G-string.
In very little, yeah.
So, yeah, I agree, Tim. I mean, that's the thing is, you guys, take it from the four of us. It is more important to like what you do and love the rest of your life as well than to pull down a paycheck. It just is. And you can, I know that a lot of us came of age in an economy that was shitty and the jobs were few and far between and everyone told you how you were lucky to have a job. I mean, literally for like the last 6, 7, 8 years, people would tell you you were lucky to have a job, but that's the unemployment rate is way down, guys. So hooray, jobs for all.
Yeah.
Let's do 5 questions.
Yay, 5 questions.
Scully is a repeat guest, and that means he gets to ask us 5 questions.
Hot damn.
And we'll try to keep our answers short and not be here forever, because I have to do improv sandbox at 11:30.
Oh, my gosh. And we record another podcast at noon, so
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Tim said 3 questions, so 2 of the questions are probably going to be really dumb.
No, 3 is great.
Okay. My first one, what is a Christian book, music, or film that you actually enjoy?
The Chronicles of Narnia.
Ooh. Oh, good answer.
Good one.
Yeah,
good answer.
I actually don't, I like those okay, even though they are very clearly Jesus allegory, and I know there's that whole thing of, like, Tolkien and, I can't think of who.
C.S. Lewis.
Thank you. Where one, I think, wasn't it C.S. Lewis is an atheist who wrote a Christian book for his
Christian
friend?
No, C.S. Lewis was a minister.
Okay.
C.S. Lewis is
okay.
a minister.
Must be an urban legend then.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so that's my answer.
Or he was a professor. He was not an atheist.
All right.
Tim,
is your answer Left Behind? I bet it's Left Behind. Secretly loves Left Behind.
It should be. Actually, my answer is The Color Purple, which I think really, really good movie. Very, very God-centric. But still, it's about surviving abuse. It's about racism. There's so many things that are tied up in that movie. And when you get to the end and Celie sees her sister again, I just cry like a baby.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
just it tugs all the heartstrings for me.
Yeah.
And the God stuff just doesn't bug me because all the heartstrings are tugged. So.
I'm going to cheat a little and say the Matrix by way of Invisibles. Because The Invisibles by Grant Morrison is a Gnostic work. Mm. I mean, without a doubt, it's all about Gnosticism. Mm-hmm. And The Matrix is a straight-up rip-off of The Invisibles.
Yeah, it is.
People in the production crew were given copies of The Invisibles and said, try to make this scene look like this. This is what we're doing here.
Yes.
I mean, it's so transparent when you hear Grant Morrison talk about it that he's attitude has improved about through time, but I would say The Matrix. I mean, it's you know, there's this the world is an illusion, there's this
is
one savior kind of
Neo
sure.
is definitely a Christ figure with the whole rising
he gets
from the
dead.
There's a woman named Trinity, for fuck's sake.
I think that would be my pick.
Awesome. Question 2.
Question 2 is, what TV show are you currently binging on?
Binging on a lot.
Nick and I binge on the same stuff, so I'll let him answer first, and then I'll answer something else.
We just started watching and getting caught up on Better Call Saul, the follow-up to Breaking Bad.
Which is great.
Breaking Bad was fucking amazing. It was probably one of the greatest television shows of all time.
Agreed.
The fact that it ended on its own terms and well after telling the story that it needed to tell is great. And I was so hesitant to enjoy Better Call Saul because it seemed like a cash-in on a very successful show without its stars.
Ironically.
And Better Call Saul is so far set to be maybe an equal to Breaking Bad, I think. In different ways, but it's not corny, cheesy, like half-hour knockoff. It's an hour-long show with real characters.
It's not the Joey to Friends.
It's not Baywatch Nights.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. No. And so we, like, there's 5 episodes out as of this recording, and, like, I think Molly and I watched 1, 2, 3, and then 4 and 5 as they came out.
Yeah.
But that's what my answer is going to be.
It's a good answer.
I'm going to answer, well, we talked about Arrow before.
Yeah.
And we're still, you know, binge catching up on that. But for me, I recently started rewatching Skins, which, the British version, fantastic, and I've seen them all, but I'm kind of starting over from the beginning because I've forgotten how the first few episodes of every series of Skins is these kids, and it's like, oh, everything's great, and everyone's having fun times, and maybe things, oh, did someone almost OD? That's pretty serious. And then, like, bitches get murdered, and there's, like, rape and horrible shit, and so...
The floor falls and...
Yeah, and so, like, it's fun going back and watching, and I've been kind of, like, live Facebooking, like, when I watch an episode, and it's good, so...
I can say a lot of things. I've oddly, as a movie person, I've been binge watching a shit ton of TV the last 6 months. But what Pat and I have gotten into lately, speaking of one of the best TV series of all time, we've been watching MASH because it's on Netflix.
Ah, nice. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And we went back and started at the beginning. And you know, the great thing about MASH is the character development, the way that it starts as a pure comedy, and it really turns into some nice character study. And I mean, we're watching season 4 right now, which is the last season with Frank Burns, and you're like, they needed to get rid of Frank Burns because Frank Burns is the only character in this entire series who never grows,
it's
who never changes, who never has a sympathetic side.
What character is he?
He was the ferret face. He was replaced by David Ogden Stiers.
He's the
HNIC. He was the regular army.
Don't know Nashville enough.
Anyway, the character is just, he's out of place as these other characters are showing depth, you know, as Pierce stops being just straight up comic relief and starts having a serious side, as you're seeing that Margaret isn't just the awful bitchy, you know, supporter of Frank, but every now and again when Frank's not around, she starts to be a human being. And anyway, so it's that's what I've been watching lately. And I had seen all of them as a kid because they were a syndication.
Same here.
All the time. I've seen every episode of that show probably 3 or 4 times.
I gave the wrong answer. I should have said Kill la Kill. That's what I did without you.
It's true.
Yeah, I my Crunchyroll account expired, so I went on an anime watching spree and watched the entire first season of Kill la Kill. Which is satire of fan service anime that contains so much fan service that it's kind of a Poe's Law type thing.
How do you parody porn, you know?
But exactly. it's the plot and the stories and the way it's told gets more and more ridiculous to the point where at the very end it's like the fate of the entire world is, you know, because clothes are actually sentient aliens that have been sent here to feed off human beings, and it's amazingly ridiculous. And I totally understand if someone would hate it because the satire is very thin.
What have you been watching, Scully? I keep forgetting to ask. I didn't ask you to answer the first one. So
The first one is music, like having grown up Christian.
Yeah.
The gospel music I just still love because it's so
gospel music
so
sounds
awesome.
Great.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the lyrics are about. It's whatever. But
it'd be
also
great if they just sing la 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 la, because then there wouldn't be the God shit in there.
But there's there's a band called the Newsboys.
Okay.
That I got into back in the day. It was the Newsboys and DC Talk. And now
DC
as a grown
Talk.
Up, like DC Talk, I can hear they're awful. But the first couple of Newsboys albums, they were pretty good, and they didn't talk about, like, praise God, worship God, or you're fucked. It was more, I'm a Christian, and I believe in God, but I'm really sad right now, or I'm really angry right now.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it just felt like more of a real thing.
It wasn't just like, God is great, everything's happy.
Yeah, that's DC Talk.
Yeah, totally.
But then, yeah, it was
so
more...
binge-watching.
So binge-watching is Black Mirror.
Oh yeah. That's so good.
Damn, you gotta watch Black Mirror.
Some of the sharpest science fiction I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, not just TV.
Dystopian to some degree, too.
Amazing anthology series. And finally got on the Parks and Rec train.
Oh, good.
Yay, we're on season three of Parks
and Rec. Oh, good. Season three, Andy Dwyer is less of a villain and more of a hero.
That's what I was thinking about when you were talking about MASH, is it's like Parks and Rec, because the first few episodes and then the first season in general, everyone's very two-dimensional comic relief, everything's funny.
Oh, it's The Office, I get it.
And then it grows and it's better and it changes and it's so great.
So amazing.
We have these episodes where, like, Ron Swanson, who is he seems like just a joke.
Yeah.
Has these, like, tender moments with Leslie. And,
yeah.
Like, what gets me about that show is everybody is so nice to each other. Whereas you can have great comedy, like Ricky Gervais knows, you can have great comedy where everybody's an asshole.
Yeah.
And on Parks and Rec, almost everybody is super nice.
Yeah, it's good.
And, I love it. It gives you good
The
feeling.
Only people that aren't nice are outside of the group of protagonists.
Or it's like April. And she's like...
She's a softie.
She's not nice, but she's nice. Oh, yeah.
She's just starting to warm up to Andy.
Yeah.
That's so fun to watch.
All right.
Yeah, I should.
Question number three.
What is your favorite logical fallacy?
Ooh.
And by favorite, I mean like the one that amuses you most, or you know.
False equivalent. When somebody tries to argue a point by giving, there is a false equivalence going on my Facebook right now because I've been bitching about. Frequently in my Shit That Pissed Me Off blog, I talk about stupid laws that have to do with the rights for the oppressed Christians who want to be able to refuse service to people.
Christians.
And there's somebody on my Facebook page who basically said, well, you know, shouldn't a business be able to refuse anybody service at any time? Otherwise, and here's the false equivalence, otherwise, you could walk into a Jewish deli and sue them if they refuse to make you a pulled pork sandwich. And I'm like, no, that's not the same thing at all.
No.
You can walk into a Jewish deli and sue them if they refuse to serve you because you're a Christian.
Right.
But
I can't go to Devani's and sue them because they're not making me pad thai.
Right, I can't go... make it even more ridiculous than that. I can't go to a shoe store and sue them because they won't sell me a cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they don't make pulled pork, they
are a Jewish deli. It says so right there. So if you walk into a Jewish deli and expect pork, they're not going to have it. That's
even if
not...
it's just a deli. They don't have to have pork.
The trick is the argument of discrimination.
Yeah.
It's a false equivalence.
It is.
Yeah. That is not discrimination. They aren't discriminating against you by choosing what they're going to sell.
Right. Yep, exactly.
They discriminate against you when they choose who to sell to.
Yes.
And they can even say, I'm not going to sell to you. But the minute they say, Molly, I won't sell to you because you're a woman.
Exactly.
That's discrimination.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You can get fired for any reason except for the things you can't help. Like being a woman or being gay.
Having
or being
a men's
black.
Shoe store isn't discriminating against women.
Right.
You're not selling to women. You're selling men's
You'll
shoes.
You'll totally sell men's shoes to women.
Yeah.
Right. You just won't sell them women's shoes.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's not discrimination.
Oh, that's good.
I think a form of the ad hominem, I think the tu quoque is one of my favorite logical fallacies. It's like you give a good argument, and rather than address your argument, they would criticize something like your flaw. Therefore, what you believe is invalid. Like
your grammar sucks.
Like Molly says, apples are great, and I say, well, I mean, Molly likes apples, but she also likes goats, and those goats are terrible.
Yeah.
Therefore, can we really trust her that she... It's kind of like a poisoning the well.
Or also, like, if I say to you, you didn't support your conclusion with facts, and you say, well, you used bad grammar.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's too quoque.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not addressing your argument. I'm addressing...
You're turning it around on me in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate when people do that.
It's so, like, it's like, no, man. I asked you a question, or I made a point.
I brought up something that's bothering me, and then your response is, you bother me.
when people don't respond to my argument, but they respond to me.
Yeah.
I think that bothers me a lot, and I kind of relish in pointing it out, because it's like, no, come back to this. I ask these questions because I want your answers.
I have some people in my life I talk to a lot that have a tendency to do that, where I manage to bring up something that they do that bothers me, and I'll say, like, you know, it hurts my feelings when you say that, and the response will be, yeah, well, you this, and it's like, hold on. No.
Not the same thing.
In a minute, we'll get to that, but let's go back to where I said you hurt my feelings, and we'll address that, and then we can talk about what you just said. Like, yeah. I think mine is No True Scotsman, because it comes up so much. There's so often that people say, like, well, a real blank wouldn't blank. I mean everything. I've been told that a real feminist wouldn't dress the way I dress on stage for Vill. Sure. I've been told a real atheist wouldn't, say that they definitely believe there's no God, because that makes you just as bad as a Christian. I've been told that a real, it's amazing. A real girl gamer wouldn't play Cooking Mama, because that's just a game that they made for girls.
Wow.
Just amazing stuff like that. Yeah. And it's so pervasive in our ideas that there is a real blank, there is this idea of what a real blank does.
Sure.
And especially, like, you know, the whole no real woman this, and the one thing I've often said is a real woman is anyone who identifies as a woman.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah.
A real woman has a vagina. Nope. Like, a
as it pertains
real women have curves.
It's like atheism and religion. The No True Scotsman comes up a lot when someone says, hey, look, this group of religious people did this terrible thing. Like, these Christians, you know, bombed an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
Sure.
And other Christians say, well, they're not real Christians, because real Christians are all about peace and love. And
then they will go on to say, but the Muslims who are committing acts of terror absolutely are adhering strictly to the faith.
They're Muslims. Yeah.
No, they are real Christians. They are real Muslims. Your religion...
Yeah,
you may not like what these people get out of your holy book, but they got it out of the same fucking book.
Yeah. I also love the idea that since it's No True Scotsman, that it's like, No True Scotsman would let his kilt hang below his knees, or something ridiculous like that, like some stupid, like, way overblown, like, idea is what I always think of. So.
What about you, Scotty? What's your favorite?
Yeah, what's yours?
I love spotting circular logic. It's really hard to get people to see it, but I had, like, an argument I had with someone where they said homosexuality is a sin.
Okay.
I say, well, okay, how do you know? Well, the Bible says so, right, in these verses. And I say, well, okay, we're going to accept for a minute that the Bible is the authority on these things.
Begging the question.
So, let's say, if you look at the translations of these verses, the word for homosexuality doesn't exist in Greek, so maybe this is talking about something else, and maybe they're not saying that homosexuality is a sin, so let's think about that. And they go, there is no way that the Bible would fail to condemn homosexuality. And I go, why? And they say, because homosexuality is a sin.
Circular.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's totally begging the question, which the real use of begging the question, not the incorrect use of begging the question.
Those are good questions.
Yeah,
thank you.
I like those.
Too bad you didn't have two more. They would have been awesome.
No, it's all right. What's good, though, because we talked for a long time.
The three were good because you condensed down five worth
of... It's the Holy Trinity.
It was five. You're right. Five questions worth of three.
Exactly. What?
Anyway, I don't know.
Each one of those was 1.33 questions.
Thank you for listening to us through our punchy discussions of our job trajectories and our new lives. And if you know what, if you're struggling right now and you're trying to figure out what to do with your life, you know, feel free to comment. Maybe we can offer some advice, you know. And but really, honestly, just find your happy, man. That's the best advice I can give anybody, especially an atheist, because there is no fucking glorious reward. There's nothing but here and now. So make it good and make it count and be happy with your days, because it's all you have.
Sure.
Well said.
Yes. So thank you.
And if you play Kingdom of Loathing, don't quit just because of Scully. Yeah.
I can say that your dream job, a dream job that makes you feel like shit all the time, is not a dream job.
There you go.
Oh. That's beautiful. That's really well said. So we are Geeks Without God. As always, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, please rate us on iTunes, comment, like, share, all that good stuff. We love you guys. Thanks for hanging in there with us through all this die laughing craziness. It's only going to get more punchy from here on out. So maybe you're hearing these out of order. Maybe you're like, oh, they're way more lucid in this later episode than they were in the more recent ones. Now you know why. Thanks so much, and we'll see you guys on the flip side. Take this job and shove it.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
She's funny as fuck.
Yeah, she is.